I'm going to talk a little bit about discipleship today. Where often when we look at the societies around us, we always talk about fatherlessness and the destruction that we see as a consequence of that fatherlessness. And many times as a church, we also need to be aware of that fact when it comes to spiritual sons and spiritual fathership, that we don't also have the same issue in our church of fatherlessness. And it's interesting when I always think about significant events that have happened in my life, it's always been, there's been a key relationship that's gone along with that significant event. There was always somebody that played a part in whatever happened in my life. And when I think about discipleship, I really think it's about three key relationships. It's first and foremost, obviously, our relationship with God, but then it's also our relationship with non-believers, and then it's our relationship with God's people. So it's, we need to follow God, we need to fish, and we need to fellowship. Okay, so that's sort of the three key relationships that I'm going to think about when we, or that you must think about when I talk about discipleship. And those three relationships, we must always make sure that they are healthy. Okay. So I'm just going to pray for us before I start, and then we're going to just watch a short video about discipleship. Okay. Yes, Father, I thank you that this morning, it's such a privilege, Father, just to come and meet together around your word, Father, and worship, Father. And even when it's so cold, Father, that our hearts get so warm when we just worship you, Father, Lord. And I praise you for every single person here this morning, Father, that you really come and impart something into our hearts from you, Father, Lord, that you can come and impart that heart of a disciple maker into us this morning. Amen. Okay, Lonnie, you can play the video. Amen. It's a cool video, so let's stand and we can pray. so that's a very good introduction to discipleship, I think, that video. It sums up a lot about the heart of discipleship, and it talked about the Great Commission. So the next slide you'll see, it's the first scripture, Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So we read the Great Commission a lot, and it's really two parts for me. The first thing is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the second part, to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So I'm going to sort of split it into those two parts. And if you go to the next slide, this is the vision of Shofar Christian Church. You probably will be able to recite it. So it's to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. Okay, so that is our vision as a church, and you'll see the link with the Great Commission, okay? It's the disciple-making is the first portion of our vision. It's also the first portion of the Great Commission. So obviously, according to Scripture and our vision as a church, discipleship should be a very important part of who we are and what we do. So this morning, obviously, we are first and foremost all disciples. We are Christ's disciples. Okay, but I'm going to specifically talk not about that discipleship relationship, but about the relationship between us as people. So where we have people that disciple us, and then where we go and we disciple other people. So that is the two portions. And I'm not wanting to teach about discipleship or 5 or 10 steps, how we can effectively teach somebody to read word, to pray, to have a relationship with God. I'm more trusting that we'll catch sort of the vision or that heart of discipleship, where it's something this morning that I want us to catch rather than something that I'm just teaching. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's go. The first thing is that you need to have a life that people can... Oh, before I go there, sorry, let me just first go to the scriptures again. It's 2 scriptures that Paul wrote, and it gives us an idea of how he did and saw discipleship. So the first one is in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 to 17. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, and he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So this is a really great scripture to use to see how Paul saw discipleship, that he wanted a church to imitate the way he does relationship with Christ, but he didn't go himself. He sent one of his disciples because he knew that if they just follow him, in essence, they will be actually following Paul, who's following Christ. So it's a really powerful picture that Paul actually became their father through the gospel. He had a spiritual son, and then he sent his spiritual son, who his disciple, to go and disciple other people just so that they can also be like Paul. And the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, where Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Okay, so I don't want to be following Paul, obviously, if he's not following Christ. So that is a good order to have. So the first question or statement is that we actually have to have a life that people can imitate or follow. As Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So we need to have, firstly, that life that we feel comfortable if other people follow our life. And it really talks about devotion, if I think about it. What is our devotion to Christ? Because if I'm devoted to him, then I'll feel comfortable if other people follow me. Okay? So it's really important when it comes to discipleship that we make sure that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and that we keep that relationship healthy. And that is the first and most important thing. So if I think about, you know, many times we say, okay, I'm going to pray about this thing. You know, what does that really mean? Does it mean that we're just putting it off and then life happens and then we get forced into making a decision? Or do we actually pray about it, speak to God about it, we journal about it, we speak to other people about it, and then we make a real decision that we really prayed about this thing? You know, and we all... The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, you know. So if we claim to be Christians or followers of Christ, then you can make the assumption that you should be able to hear God's voice. But many times we do struggle because of different reasons, and many times there's so many other voices speaking that we're not sure which one is the one we need to listen to. So I really want to encourage us this morning that if you say you're a Christian, then you can hear God's voice. So if you're not hearing it, go do your homework. Go see what is happening. Is there too many things that's distracting you, that's keeping you from hearing God's voice? Because it's worth taking the time to get to the bottom of it so that you can be in a place where you can hear God's voice. If I go to Hebrews 1 verse 2, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So that's why we're not relying on people to come and prophesy to us, or relying on, you know, listening to sermons so that we can hear God's voice. But God actually speaks to us through his Son. So this morning, really, guys, you can hear God's voice. And it's important that you are able to hear from God before you start discipling people. Because if you hear from God, you are able, the whole world will open up for you with regards to all the aspects of life. So that's just the first portion that I wanted to talk about, is that you have to have a life that people can actually follow. All right. And then the second part, you need to disciple other people. Okay, so that is the core of this morning. All right. So the first part of the Great Commission says that go and make disciples of all nations. So who is all nations? Okay, if we think about it, you know, is this all nations for us? We need to disciple one another. Because I think when Jesus gave that commandment to the disciples, that they actually understood Jesus to mean not that they must go out into the world and find all the people that believe and start discipleship groups with them. But I actually think it means go into all the world and find all the non-believers and make them disciples. Okay. So for me, it talks about actually getting people that are not believers. Where we understand discipleship a lot, that it means we need to disciple Christians and each other. Which that is obviously a vital part of discipleship. It's very important, but and it's crucial for us to do that in order so that we can mature. But we can't do that at the expense of what I think Jesus actually meant, that we need to make disciples. All right. And the point that I want to make is that biblical discipleship starts with evangelism. All right. So that is the starting point for discipleship. And I've got a friend, Rick, that I met when I was beginning of my second year at university. We used to have first year camps, or they still do, but this one was sort of an undercover chauffeur camp. I don't know if anybody was on those camps. Yeah. So it's called a Pro Events Camp. It's not a church camp at all, but all the facilitators, which is sometimes more than the people attending the camp, all come from chauffeur. And we'll just do, it's in Amanus at a campsite, and we just do adventure activities and everything, and then the last night, then we just come with an outreach and an altar call, and then everybody's just shocked. But that was that camp, and I was a facilitator on that camp in the beginning of my second year. And then I met Rick. I had my own little group, and Rick was in my group. And one day we were just, you know, sitting there, and all of a sudden Rick tells me, but I know you are in that church, and all of you are. And I'm like, okay. And then he actually confronted me that he knows that we're all in this show for a charismatic church, and he knows all about this type of church, and his parents go to a similar church. And yeah, he just started sharing about his experience of church and why he's not really interested, and the experiences he's had and how he views it. And we started talking a lot and sharing. And then, you know, at that point, I think discipleship started for him. Because from that moment, I had a position in his life where I could start speaking into it. And that is discipleship. And the camp finished up, and, you know, it wasn't long before Rick started contacting me to go to church. So for me, that is where discipleship starts. It's not when somebody becomes a Christian. When you become a Christian, you graduate from disciple school that you can make disciples. So discipleship starts with evangelism. So I'm just going to go through a little graph. So there's different phases that we go through in our lives and when we think about discipleship. And the reason I'm putting this up is just to give some substance to what I'm saying and just to for us to really relate to how this thing works. It's a bit complicated, but you'll see the green, the blue, and the red. It's learn and attend, devotional disciplines, initiation, lordship, and it's exploring, grounded, maturity, and leadership. So at the bottom, I've just put three points, okay? So the first one, which there it says learn and attend, or feeding from others. That really talks about us when we first come to church or we first become saved. You know, we attend Bible school, we attend foundations, we do every course that we can. We have people that disciple us. We just receive and receive and receive and receive. And a lot of times people's faith will be, you know, based on the church events and others feeding them. So that is the first part of our journey, is we get fed by others. The second one is when you grow above that, where you start to feed yourself. Where I no longer need Yaku to give me words or to read Bible to me, but I actually can go sit in my room, read Bible, meet with the Lord, pray, and be fed. Where I don't need any assistance, in a sense. And that is the second part. It's feeding yourself. And then the last one, that initiative or lordship or leadership, it's where you then start to feed others. Okay, and many times we are very content with being in the second place, feeding ourselves, because we feel full, we feel happy, and we're so content just to be, you know, if I have quiet time, I enjoy it, you know, I don't have a problem just doing that forever, that's fine. But then God actually wants us to go beyond that and actually take initiative, be a leader, and help other people to get to a place where they can feed themselves and then they can go and help other people, and then that whole discipleship cycle just runs. So this is just a great way. If you think about your life today, you could place yourself somewhere on that graph, right? Either you're still relying on other people feeding you, and if they stop feeding you, you'll be in trouble. Or you are really full, you've just learned how to, you know, have this amazing Bible study, it's working for you and everything, and you may be there, or maybe you are currently really discipling people and you're doing it. The thing is, what makes this graph nice is that if you identify where you are, you can see what's your next step. So if you're currently sitting here and you are feeding yourself and it's working, then your next step of growth is, well, you need to feed other people. Okay, and similarly, if you are discipling someone, where is that person at on this graph? And where is his next steps? And you need to help him to get there. Okay, so this is very simplistic, but I always like to use this because it makes it practical, it's not complicated, and most of the times we can really relate to one of those areas. So that's just something that you can use, especially, you know, we always ask the question, how can I grow in my relationship with Christ? Well, this might give you some guidance. Okay. And a thing that I always, a scripture that I always use when talking about discipleship is the one in John 4, where it's the woman at the well. And we know the story, how Jesus started to speak to this Samaritan lady, and he had a word of knowledge about her life, and she came to draw water, and she just left everything, went back to her town, and just called all the people and said, listen here, there's this guy that told me everything that I've ever done, and could this be the Christ? And then the whole town came. Do you guys know the story? Okay. So the last portion of that scripture says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Can you see in that second part where now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard, and we know that this is indeed the Christ. So the first reason the people actually came to Christ and believed him is really because of the word or the testimony of that lady. And that is a great place to start. And when we go out and we share the gospel and we disciple people and we're feeding others, then really that is where they are many times, their faith is based on what we say or on our testimonies, okay? And that's why it's very important. We need to get them to make that transition where they take ownership of their own relationship with God, where they take ownership of their own faith, where their faith is now based on that they've heard for themselves and they now have this relationship with Christ. So if this lady now backslides and she walks away, they'll be fine because their faith is no longer based on her testimony. It's based on Christ. Can you see that difference there? So it's an easy mistake that we many times make. You know, we base a lot of our beliefs and faith on other people's testimonies, where other people can fail and they can walk away from Christ and then we're in trouble. And that's what we need to avoid, and that's why it's important we need to push for people that they have to make that transition. So just to go to the second part of the Great Commission, where it was teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Okay. So once you believe God, that is obviously good, and you've made a disciple. But now the next step, and that is the second part of the Great Commission, is we need to teach people to live a life of obedience. And in John 8, verse 31, it says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And that is going another step further. It's actually not always that easy to be obedient, because what must I obey? How must I obey it? Which is a whole new world that opens up to us. When we start, you know, sometimes we get this voice and it's like, you must go do the strange thing, or you know, you must move to this job. And there's so many times we figure out this obedience thing. And it's really a learning process. Okay, but it's important that we need to help people in that learning process and actually teach them how to make wise decisions and how to really obey the Lord. And the question then that I wanna ask us this morning is, you know, where are the non-believers in your life? Where are the people that do not know Christ? Do we have relationship with them? Because as I said, that is the first step of discipleship. It starts there. And I think if we look at how Jesus did it, you know, he never ever expected the non-believers to jump into his world. You know, he always understood that he needs to engage them in their world. If I just think about how he went to eat with the tax collectors and how the religious people were so upset about it. You know, but Jesus understood the thing that, well, I need to engage them in their world. So you guys are really free to go and engage people in the world, okay? There's no condemnation for where you hang out. So, you know, many times we have a very big performance culture. And that many times, you know, we don't have that tolerance almost for the messiness that comes with discipleship. You know, and we need to be open to people that, you know, this thing can be messy, and it's not about doing it perfectly. It's not about just only the pastor discipling the people. And I think the message that many times gets portrayed, whether it's subtly or whatever, it's that, you know, discipleship is only for professional ministers. And it's not the case. So I really want to encourage you that that every one of us, we can make disciples. We are ministers. And as I said, that the day you become a believer is the day that you graduate as a disciple maker. Okay, so then you can go and make disciples. And they always say that one church, they've got a rule about a one chapter in the Bible rule, that if you've read one chapter more than the person next to you, then you can disciple that person. But be aware, if that person overtakes you, he's going to start discipling you. Okay. So, same with us. We can all disciple people. And I want to actually talk about some of the guys that had an impact in my life, or people that I feel were those key relationships for me in certain phases of my life, of growing up. And I want to start with a guy named Kyle. Unfortunately, I asked him to be here, but he's at his parents' place on a farm this weekend. But I met him when I was, I think, in Standard 4. We were on a leadership camp. He was in Monte Vista. I was in a different school. And I don't know, at that stage, I didn't have a lot of friends on that camp. And Kyle took me into their little friendship circle. And I met him. We had a great camp. And then we went back to our schools, and that was it. And so obviously, we didn't have cell phones or WhatsApp to keep in contact. So when I got to high school, Kyle was there. Okay, so we then went to the same high school, obviously met up, and we were then in the same class. But not only we had every single subject, we had the exact same subject, we were in exactly the same class for every single subject except for accounting. And we almost sat next to each other in every single class, you know, every break, you know, we hang out together. So we are friends. And Kyle was the first person that took me to a different church that I was used to. He took me to, it was his people at N1 City. And his father was also there, and I went with him. And he was the first guy that actually exposed me to this living relationship with Christ. Where before that, I didn't really have much of an idea of it. And we always slept over at each other's houses. And his dad was also in the ministry. And they always had very interesting people staying over at their house. This is a Life Application Bible. And you know, one of the guys, his name is in the Bible, who wrote some of the commentary. He stayed there for a month, and I got to meet him. A few months, the bassist from Plush lived there, so we were hanging out with him. So it was always a cool experience to be there. And I think when we were in high school, we literally, every single Sunday morning, we would get up and we'll go forward when there's an altar call. No matter what it was always at least a salvation altar call, and we'll go forward. And we'll be there, and you know, and one day Kyle sat me down. He's like, "Ryan, you know, we've been doing this thing for a while. I think we've matured enough now to not do this every week." So, you know, I didn't have anybody that, you know, and Carl probably as well, but we didn't have somebody that really took us and so guys, if you respond to the altar call, this is what it means, and this is how you grow this relationship. Okay, so every week we start it over. But the reason I've got this Bible here, and my dad will maybe remember this Bible, but I got this Bible for my 17th birthday, and I think I asked for this. I wanted a Bible, and my parents gave me a Bible for my birthday, and it was the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. I don't know who's got a Bible like that. Okay, most of us in church have that one. Okay, I opened up my gift on my birthday, and there was the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and you know, it's silly now, but I wasn't really happy with that Bible. I wanted this one. Why? Because Kyle had this one. And that is just the power of discipleship. Like, Kyle was the one guy that I knew, like, if I could have a relationship with the Lord like Kyle has, you know, I'll be happy. And Kyle's got this Bible. So I must have this one. So, you know, eventually I got my dad to take me back to the bookshop. and to exchange the Bible, and they didn't have one in stock. So I'm like, it's fine, I'll wait. Months later, we didn't get anything from them. We went back, we're like, guys, where's our Bible? And then they said, well, yes, we're terribly sorry. We actually forgot about it. Or I don't know what the case was. And then I got this leather one. Okay, it wasn't a leather one initially. But this is the one that they had in stock. So they just gave it to me. Okay, and this is the first Bible then that I actually read through the whole New Testament, highlighting everything. So I actually read this Bible. And it's really special when I think back just the power of that relationship, you know. And how it shaped a lot of where I am today. And after high school, went to university. Carl went to UCT. I went to Stellenbosch. And I was in Metanoia, the res there. And the first day, my dad took me. We drove into Stellenbosch. He dropped me at Metanoia. And the first person that I met when I walked into the res was a guy called Michael. Okay, and Michael was my academic mentor in my section. Okay, it was the second year. But it also turns out that Michael was in church. And then Michael took me with to Shofar. I think the first week, I told him, no, I want to first go to his people because that's what I know. I went to school, but I didn't really feel this is it. And then the second week, Michael took me to Shofar. I loved it. He became my small group leader. He baptized me, which is one of the most special days of my life thus far. And the story goes on. Today, we're still very good friends. And that really, through my university, 4 years at university, that was really one of my most important relationships. You know, many, many days, I'll just sit in his room and we'll just share. And Michael is a very good teacher, so he used to always read church history books, and then every evening he'll come and teach it to me in my room. And today he's teaching the church history module at Shofar Pretoria. And he obviously practiced on me, that's why he's so good. But yeah, and then after university, I moved in with Jock. Jock, thanks for coming this morning. But Jock and I studied together. I think we actually met in our first year and we were in church together. But Jock was obviously in Dagbreek and it was made the relationship a bit difficult. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, so we moved in together and we started now with our working careers. And like a lot of you guys have started this year, you'll know it's a big transition, okay? For me, it was the biggest transition from university to start working than any other transition that I've ever had to make in my life, probably. And Jock and I, we were accountability partners, and we are still accountability partners. So, yeah, we started to just do this accountability thing, and with Jock, it was the first time that I think we really pulled off this whole accountability thing. And we really met, and we shared, and we prayed for one another, and it really worked out for us, and I think it got us through a lot. And it's really one of those brother or guys that's friends that sticks closer than a brother. You know, those covenant friendships that we many times talk about. And what's so special about those guys, and there's obviously, I mentioned three, there's a lot more people that really had a massive input. But when I got married, they all stood next to me on that day. And when Jock got married and when Michael got married, I had the opportunity to stand next to them as well. And Kyle's not married yet, so maybe I'll get the invite. But the question this morning is really, you know, God really divinely orchestrated those relationships. Okay, He organized it that they ended up in my life. And if they were not there, you know, I don't even want to think about it, because it really meant the world to me. And when I think about discipleship, you know, I always think, you know, am I supposed to be that person for someone else? You know, is there somebody out there that will speak about you in that way. That you were that person for that someone. That you actually, you had that impact on that person's life that shaped who they are. And I want to end off with the story about Rick, the guy that I met on the camp. Because obviously he was a first year, I was a second year, and I was his facilitator on the camp. And on those camps, we put a lot of emphasis on the follow-up. You know, the follow-up is the thing. You need to have that contact after the camp. And I was obviously that guy, or supposed to be that guy for Rick. And what happened in my second year is I became a small group leader. Okay, so there's this new thing. I've never led a small group. I need to figure this out. I'm doing Bible school. I did missions in June. You know, so all of a sudden, there's these things that's all new and exciting, and it's church stuff. And I'm becoming so busy. And here Rick starts to contact me. He's like, can you please come and fetch me and take me to church? I'm like, cool, awesome. I've got a missions meeting straight before church. I'll meet you there, and then we go in together. And obviously Rick didn't pitch up. Next week, same story. He'll ask me, oh, can you come and fetch me? I really please want to come with you to church. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, you know, I didn't do that much. And here this guy's responding like he's really keen to come to church. Again, I had missions meeting, because missions meetings, you know, I don't know if they still do it that way, but it was before the evening service, and it was almost, you know, a bit militant. You need to be there. I remember one Sunday, I actually asked my missions leader, can I just leave 20 minutes earlier? I need to go fetch this guy. And he's like, there's no way. You need to be here. I'm like, okay. So I never contacted Rick throughout the week, you know, and it went on and on and on. And one day I was walking on the campus, and I bumped into one of the other guys that he was also in our group. And he became good friends with Rick on the camp, and they were, I think, in academia. They were in the same res. And this guy, he bumped into me. He's like, Rian, did you hear about Rick? I'm like, no, what about Rick? He's like, no, he dropped out last week. It was just, you know, university just too much for him, you know? And I stood there with this cell phone with all the SMSs from Rick. And now he's gone. He lived in Pretoria. He went back home. I always get emotional when I talk about Rick. But a week or two later, I bumped into that same guy, and he asked me if I heard again. And this time, Rick had committed suicide. And I'll never forget that day, going back to my res, opening up Facebook, just going through all the comments of, you know, really, it's a done deal. There's nothing as final as that. And yeah, I'm sitting in my room with all these SMSs from Rick. And his friend told me after he dropped out, Rian, you must phone him. Phone him and just talk to him. I'm like, yes, I must phone him, you know, and we're so busy. I didn't phone him. So it was really hit hard that day when I walked into my room. I just broke down. You know, that's it. So I'm sorry to end off with a story like this today. But this is really, guys, we can't wait for a similar story before you become serious about discipleship. I've got one. Okay, it's enough. So it's just, that made me realize, and from that day, I realized that it's not a game that I'm playing. It's not cool if somebody contacts me to come to church. It could be a matter of life and death. I'm not saying that it would have turned out any differently if I had actually phoned him or anything, but there's at least a chance, right? So, yeah, let's stand, and then we'll sing a last song. So, Father, I thank you this morning that we can just share around discipleship, Father, and really just understand that this is important, Father God. And so many times we don't understand that it really could be a matter of life and death, Father, Lord. That there are people that do not know you, Father, that really have such a desire, Father, Lord. And we really want to speak into those people's lives, Father, and be a key relationship for them, Father, and be a key link between them and you, Father God. And I thank you that when we think about Rick, Father, that there are so many Ricks every day, Father, that you send along our paths, Father. And I pray this morning that we'll have our eyes open, Father, to identify the Ricks in our life, Father God, and that we won't let them go, Father, but we will actually take action, Father. And we ask, Father, that you come and impart that thing in our hearts, Father, that we have that burning desire that this is serious, Father, and this is your heart, this is your great commission, Father, and this is, as a church, a key part of our vision as well, Father. And this morning, when your eyes are closed and when we just worship, it's obviously not something that we can just now fix if we don't get discipleship right or if we've maybe also made mistakes. But I want to invite you, you're welcome to come forward or you're welcome to just pray with a friend that maybe your relationship with God isn't where you know it should be. Okay, maybe you really haven't heard God's voice in a while or you haven't really prayed or, if I ask you, are you really devoted to Christ and you can't give me a yes, then I really want to invite you this morning to come and just surrender again. Just say, God, I don't want this relationship to slip, So it's worth taking the time out this morning, to keep the most important things the most important. And secondly, maybe your heart hasn't been in a place where you really want to disciple people and maybe this morning, there's something that clicked for you. Then I also invite you, just come and we can just pray together and we can just ask the Lord, that it will be something that started here this morning and that there will be action and that you'll be able to give action to that thing that happened in your heart this morning.